Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, I Go, You Stay, I Stay, You Go.
Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Let us listen to God's word. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While I was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of our Lord.
Our second lesson this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. We read, So if you have been raised with Christ, and really the better word there should have been since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day and the privilege of worship, and would ask now that as we reflect upon your word, your truth, that we might hear it and receive it and believe it and live it. To your honor and to your glory, we pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Those of you who follow closely the liturgical calendar might be a little confused that we are talking about the Ascension today when today is not Ascension Day. And those of you who have no idea what the liturgical calendar is, don't worry about any of it. The ascension of our Lord took place 40 days after the resurrection, which this year will be celebrated on Thursday, May 30th. So why are we talking about it today? Because after, on the third day, he arose again from the dead, we recite in the Apostles' Creed, then he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That obscure little phrase, and perhaps even more obscure and less often observed day on the liturgical calendar, marks a very important turning point, a line of demarcation, a radical change, really, in the story of our salvation history. The ascension of our Lord marks the ending of one era and the beginning of yet another era. The old era, and it even seems strange to even refer to it in that way, because what it's talking about is the era when Jesus came in flesh, when God chose to do a radical new thing in salvation history by becoming flesh like us and dwelling among us. But that era ends in our lesson from Acts when his earthly ministry is completed and his heavenly reign begins. So in order to help us understand the importance or the meaning of this radical change, I've divided this statement into two phrases, two separate steps or emphases. And I'll say these are my words, they're not Jesus' words, but I'm speaking them in Jesus' voice. So the first step is, I go, you stay. In the ascension, Jesus, fully a member of the Trinity, abandons the flesh, his time of being fully human, and now returns to his heavenly post, reassuming his nature of being fully divine. This is what Paul's going to write about in Philippians chapter 2, where he speaks in the incarnation, Jesus emptied himself. He left the thrones of glory and became like us. And so Paul writes, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he left the glories of heaven in order to come and do the work of salvation, the work of the cross. And in this way, Paul describes the completion of Jesus' ministry. And then watch as he transitions in the next phrase to his moving away from the humiliation of being in human form to his glorification of being back as a full member of the Trinity. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, in his resurrection and ascension, Jesus reassumes his rightful place of honor and glory. At his ascension, effectively what Jesus is doing is he's going back home. Do you remember in John's gospel where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also? So this is what the disciples watch Jesus doing in Acts chapter 1. He is literally ascending, going back home, going from being fully human to fully divine once again. And surely they must have been grief-stricken by that and somewhat confused even as they were watching it happen. How are we going to get along without him? And what are we supposed to do now? To which Jesus, in effect, says, and again, these are my words, not Jesus, I go, you stay. Prior to this, in what proved to be their last conversation with him, the disciples ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, this is after the resurrection, so they knew that a change was coming. They just didn't know what or when that change would take place. So they ask, is this the time? And Jesus answers very succinctly. He says, it is not for you to know the time. One of the lessons that Jesus teaches us, and admittedly, it is a very difficult lesson for many of us to learn, is the ability to wait and watch. It's the art or the discipline of patience as we wait on God's timing rather than our own timing. And admittedly, most of us aren't very good at that. So in part, learning the ways of Jesus is learning to trust God to work his purposes out in his timing, in his ways, often beyond our understanding or our doing, which again is part of a good reminder to us that there are things which need doing in this world that are beyond our power or authority to do them. That being said, we do have a part to play in that kingdom work. It's just we are utterly and ultimately dependent on God doing his part as well. So in the meantime, we need to learn to wait and watch and pray. So the first aspect of this radical change brought on by the ascension is I go, Jesus returns home, you stay. We watch, we wait, we pray. The second aspect of the ascension then, and the joining phrase of the Apostles' Creed is, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, which I will now interpret, I stay, you go. Jesus ascends to heaven, goes back home, fully divine, and sits at the right hand of God the Father. Now, don't miss the point of this teaching. Don't let that rabbit trail send you off into Jesus' right-hand Father. Where did he go to be with God? And I didn't even know God had a right hand. That's not the point of the teaching. What the writer of the Creed and really the writer of Scripture is saying is that in this statement, Jesus is being both glorified and reclaiming his rightful authority. The creed is portraying Jesus now as king, as ruler, as judge, and we'll talk more about that next week. The Jesus we knew in the incarnation, preaching, teaching, healing, doing miracles, the Jesus who was crucified, dead, and buried is now the Jesus raised again and established as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that, he is seated, signifying that his work is done, it's completed. At the end of the day, I sit down, I'm done. And so he is staying in power, in glory, eternally. That's what he's doing. So what are we to do? We are to go. I stay, you go. In his ascension, we hear him say, "Go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The great commission of our Lord in Matthew 25, his last words to disciples is, "Go and make disciples of all nations." So now that Jesus is rightly seated, rightly honored as Savior and Lord by his death and resurrection and ascension, we have work to do. Now is not a time for idleness. Now is a time for activity. Now is our time for doing kingdom work. And so begins the next era in salvation history, and that is the era we would call the era of the church. I always chuckle a little bit when I read Acts chapter 1, when the disciples are standing, staring, watching Jesus ascend into heaven. I happen to think Luke, in writing this, has a good sense of humor. He seems to want us to enjoy this moment with the disciples. So as they are standing, watching Jesus ascend, we read, "Suddenly two men in white robes stand by them and say, 'What are you doing? Why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you up into heaven will come again in the same way you saw him go into heaven.'" Almost as if they're saying, "Chop, chop, let's get with it. Time's running. There's work to be done." And what is that work that we've been given? We meaning the church. It's the work of evangelism, of sharing the good news with any and everyone of who Jesus is and what he has done for us and for our salvation, of what it means and inviting folks into a right and saving relationship with God through Christ. And it's the work of disciple-making, of our becoming more and more like Jesus, committing ourselves to living for him and for his kingdom purposes. And why is it important that we do this work? Because one day we're going to be living with him eternally in that place that he has gone to prepare for us. So now is the time to ready ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to invite still others into this life that one day will be ours in the kingdom of heaven, in that new heaven and new earth when he comes again. And that's going to be the next big step, the next big turning point, the next era. One day, the ending of this era, the beginning of the new era when Jesus returns and the kingdom of God comes in its fullness. So with that in mind, and in anticipation of that new era, Paul writes in Colossians, "So if you have been raised with Christ, or since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you also then will be revealed with him in glory." That's what we're instructed to do. This is what we're commissioned to do in the meantime. That meantime between his going away and his coming again, we are to seek the things of God. We are to seek the things that are above and set our minds on those things. For friends, this life, it's temporal. It's temporary. Our life in Christ is eternal. And so we are to ready ourselves in this life for the life yet to come. We're to live with a sure and confident hope that one day, where Jesus is, we will be also. And so let us set our minds on things that are above. Let us commit ourselves to learning the lessons of faith and discipleship which Jesus gives to us. He shows them to us in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and now in his ascension. In his going and our staying, we are to learn the lessons of faith, of patience, of waiting and watching and praying. In his staying and our going, we are to learn the ways of Jesus and so do the work he has given us to do. So, chop, chop, there's work to be done, and we're the ones who've been called to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift, the privilege of being invited into this great relationship, this new era. And we pray that we will be a people who are committed to following in your way, to your honor and to your glory. Help us to commit and recommit to that this day. Lord, hear our prayer.